been really fun to gather. I really been enjoying it. I think we've all been there, been in a hospital, been in a time of need and in a struggle. And I was thinking today as I was getting ready for the scripture time, I was thinking about this time in a hospital room. Our family was feeling super overwhelmed. We were struggling in so many ways. We had just adopted three extra kids. We had already had three. We were in the middle of a huge surgery and then some complications with the surgery with Maria. I mean, we were pretty slammed, I would say. We had struggled, but there I was in this hospital room. Maria had just broken her femur after her external fixator pin, an external fixator pin halo thing had. We're at the site of the pin. She twisted wrong and it snapped, and so she just clean broke her femur. And so we're headed to the hospital, and I got that shift. So we're there, and I'm looking out through the window, trying to get Wi-Fi from a neighboring building up at Swedish, and I got an email that trickled in from a friend, and he said to me, "Hey, Aaron, how are you doing? Do you need anything?" And my first response, no kidding, was, "No, we're good. We got it all covered. I'm watching Maria. Heather's at home with the other kids. We're basically just, handling it like champs. What could be wrong?" And I quickly, just so you know, I deleted that email and then wrote, "Wow, that's very kind of you. Thank you for offering. Let me think about some things and ways that you could assist me." But I was just so used to being strong enough, tough enough, whatever, self-sufficient, that I was just like, "No, I'm totally fine. What's your problem? How can I help you? What's going on with you?" It was just so bad, so bad. And so I'm just remembering in John 13 when Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, and they're just like, no, don't touch me. I'm fine." Peter just jump recoils almost like, "Oh, you've shamed us by doing the low work. We should have done this low work for you." This power kind of game. And what he should have just said is, "No, I need you to wash my feet. I need you to care for me. I need your support." And I think in our time with isolation and with sickness and struggle, I am trying to take the lead on this, but we've got to be able to say, "Wow, yeah, I could use some help. I'm not fine, and how are you? And what can I, how can I support you? But also, how can you support me?" And maybe there's only a few of us in the group tonight that are feeling that way, that's your posture. But I think it's kind of human, that we say, no, everything's fine. What's your problem? Let me help you." And there's almost a power dynamic that goes on with that. I've had to realize it in my own life. I think I'm still really bad at it, but at least I'm starting to become aware. Instead of, "Hey, why do you ask? Do I look like I need something?" here's some, I'm not a charity case or something like that. We've got to switch that up. So we know that Jesus, the one who didn't need anything really, God, he gave up all of that to come and to live among us. But he came among us in a needy posture. He was most likely very poor, most likely marginalized, pushed to the edges. But God in himself, in his essence, has no needs. In fact, he comes, and in Jesus, he comes to serve. Jesus told them that you're supposed to serve like this. You know how the Gentiles do it, but that's not your job. You're not supposed to do it like that. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all. But there's reciprocation here. I've got to be allowed to be served as well, which we're going to look at here in a minute. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So some of us have well, maybe it's just me, but kind of a messiah complex. I want to step in and I want to fix things and I want to do all that. But we've got to manage this sort of mindset, which says, oh, I'm always ready to serve, with I'm willing to be served. And that's where the passage of the foot washing really comes into the scene here, where we can actually say to others, yeah, serve me. Thank you very much. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus. Thanks for washing my feet. So I want to take us to John, and John chapter 13. And some of you may have been reading this, and I'll just kind of read it quickly for us, but it'll be a good reminder for our Thursday here. Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I'm doing you don't understand now, but afterward you'll understand. And Peter said to him, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I don't wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, okay, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And I think that's a sharp word. It's always been a sharp word for me. Do I want part with Jesus? Do I want to share with Jesus? Do I want to be his? Then I can't be tough. And I can't have it all together. I'm fine. How are you, Jesus? Let me help you out. I've got to just be willing to be a recipient of God's grace and his mercy. And I think we struggle with it as humans because we want to be in a posture of power. But of course, Jesus follows up with him and says, no, that's not the point. You don't need a wash. You just need to clean your feet, but not all of you are clean. And so he says then, you know, we're to serve one another in this way. And I don't know if you've ever had a foot washing ceremony before. Show of hands, how many of you have been in a foot washing time where you've washed your feet, had your feet washed? It's remarkable the first time when someone else washes your feet. If you're not used to it, it feels so strange. Not because it's ticklish. I'm talking, why are you doing this very low task for me? Why are you doing that? And man, the times that that's happened, it's usually been good friends, brothers in Christ that have done that for me. It just is so humbling, but so symbolic. So tonight, I just want us to think about, yeah, washing each other's feet in that sense. And some of us are keyed up for that. Okay, let's go. Let's just serve right now. I'll jump in there and I will do that. But then there's the for each other part, to wash one another's feet. And that means I've got to sit down and let you take off my dirty sandals. And, you know, I don't know if this grosses you out, but the fuzz between your toes from your socks. And I mean, it's embarrassing. It's not a great experience at the start, but the service and having someone care for you in that way is really, really tremendous. As I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And as we think about just these times, we don't know if things are going to get better, things are going to get worse, things are going to stretch on, things are going to be shortened up. But we know that we've got families that are struggling, It sounds like you know, with some of our families, they're managing it, things are going okay, but we've got to be aware that some families are coming apart at the seams because of this. And how can we step in and serve in a posture that also allows mutuality? And that's one thing that even with our reaching out to the poor and caring for those, Doug was giving a testimony about doing the hot meal program and how that's been shifting, but how that continues. As we share in those ways, just remember mutuality is super important, that we don't step in as the saviors and you have nothing to do with this, but that we share in that way. And I hope that even just our time of Zoom models that a little bit for you, where I desperately need your encouragement as your pastor. I really do. And so to hear a word from you, to have you share with me to synchronize with God's teaching, this is the kind of interchange we want as a family moving forward. And I want to encourage you here. You know, we're going to have people that receive Christ on Easter that are going to, we're praying for that they would accept that challenge to say yes to Jesus. And then they need to be included in the family. And this is going to be a very difficult task because we don't know how to do that virtually yet. But I'm going to be relying on people like you to serve and say, oh, tell me your story. Let me tell you my story. Hey, how can we share in what you have and what I have? And just that sense of mutuality and becoming family members. So I want to encourage you in that regard to be able to say, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. How are you doing? And maybe we can move a little bit further down the road as family toward really loving one another.